qui non est mecum contra me est, et qui non colligit mecum dispergit. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Very dear faithful, the history of the Old Testament, the history of the people of Israel, is the prefiguration of the history of the church, the New Jerusalem. The people of Israel crossed the desert to reach the promised land, and in our time we are walking in a desert towards the heavenly house that was promised to us. The scriptures also show that God does not bless those who do not want to continue this journey. In the Lenten Gospel of last Friday, we saw that the winemakers killed the servants first and then the son of the king because they had rebelled and thought that if they killed him, they could seize the vineyard and do what they wanted. At the end of the Gospel, our Lord gave a very clear answer, saying, "The kingdom of God will be taken away from you." Last Thursday in the Gospel, the Lord told us about the parable of the rich man and the poor man, Lazarus. He presents us with an immediate picture of the danger we are in when he says, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, then they will not even believe someone who has resurrected from the dead." In today's Gospel, Jesus is even more explicit. "He who is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." The poor man in the Gospel, from whom the devil was driven, is a figure of us, the baptized. The strong one has been driven out of our hearts by one who is stronger, Jesus Christ himself. Our Lord has deprived him of his armor so that he no longer has any power over us. Truly, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of grace and salvation is at hand. But the work of salvation is not yet finished. The operation of grace in our souls requires our full cooperation. This is why we are admonished, "He that is not with me is against me." There can be no neutrality with Christ. There can be no halfway mark between the service of two masters. We must choose the one or the other. This is the charge laid upon us. We must be entirely devoted to Christ. We must believe in him implicitly, imitating his example and obeying his commands. If one is not with Christ, one is against him and drives him out of his heart. Satan then enters into such a man and takes with him seven other spirits worse than himself. And the last condition of the man is worse than the first. In gratitude for our baptism, we assent to it again when we recite the Credo, and thus we renew our baptismal promises and submit to the judgments of Christ, which are sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Dear faithful, the period of Lent is very important for our spiritual life. In the Gospels of this liturgical season, the Church confronts us with a kind of mirror which shows us how we really are. Silence and dark colors in the liturgy must help us focus on the state of our soul. Jesus Christ gave his life for us to free us from sin, from eternal death, and from the devil, so that we could participate in his divine life. This is why it is absolutely necessary to look within ourselves to understand how we really are. The very incident recorded in the Gospel of the Mass today took place in our own lives when we were baptized. In the person of the priest who represents him, Christ came to us and drove out the evil spirit who had possessed us from our entry into the world. The priest says, as we read in the ritual, "I command you, every unclean spirit, in the name of the Father Almighty, and in the name of Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord and Judge, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, to depart from this creature of God, which our Lord has deigned to call his temple, that it may be a temple of the living God, and that the Holy Ghost may dwell in it." Through the same Christ our Lord, who shall come to judge the living and the dead, and the world by fire. Amen. Our Lord is faithful. He does not want to take away any of his promises, nor will he ever do it. The main question is this: do we really want what he has promised us? Or are we content to live a life, a kind of apathetic life, continually divided between God and the temptations of this world and the devil? What we need is an undivided heart that seeks first the kingdom of God. Today's gospel shows us the bitter and terrible consequences of the presence of sin and of the devil in our lives. The man presented to us is possessed by a demon who makes him dumb, showing us the destructive force of Satan. Christ, who is stronger than Satan, has driven the mighty adversary from our souls. When we renounce Satan and all his pomps, we do so with perfect freedom and we undertake a lifelong struggle against him. We are incorporated in the living Christ and share in the life of the strong one. The strength of Christ operates in us as well. The dignity of the human person finds its expression in our ability to communicate with God and with each other. Sin, as does the devil, makes us silent. We lose our ability to speak with God and then with each other. If we do not want to hear him, as when we commit sins, we become incapable of talking to him. This is how sin, and so also the devil, isolate us, breaking our natural bond with God and other human beings, and throwing us over a precipice and into the sadness of solitude. St. Paul reminds us in today's epistle, "Fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be so much as be named among you, as becometh saints, or even obscenity or foolish talking or scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know ye this, and understand, that no fornicator or unclean or covetous person, which is a serving of idols, has inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." If in these days God still permits the devil to carry on his evil work against individuals and society, Jesus, by his death on the cross, has already paid the price of our victory. His treasure is at our disposal. Through the virtue and grace of Christ, every Christian has the power to overcome the enemy's powerful attacks. The triumph of evil should not disturb us, for it is an apparent victory. The might of Jesus is stronger, and he is the one and only victor. We must work in union with Christ that his victory over evil may be our own. In today's gospel, the Master himself shows us several aspects of this collaboration. Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, thus saying that union is the secret of victory. Union with him above all, for without him we can do nothing, but also union with our neighbor. Christianity does not tolerate indifference. He who is not firmly on Christ's side, working with him for the extension of his kingdom, by this very fact is opposed to him and to what is good. He is an enemy of Christ and a partisan of evil. To omit the good one, or rather, to omit the good one could do and ought to do, is evil in itself and is consenting to the extension of evil. We often have to give up our personal ideas for this precious union with each other and with God. Unity is always to be preferred. Division never leads us to victory. Our Lord himself said, "He who is not with me is against me." The first condition necessary for victory over evil is active cooperation in the work of Christ in union with our brethren. The second condition is vigilance. Jesus warns us that the enemy of good is lying in wait. Even after he leaves a soul, he is ready to return, more powerful than before, with seven other spirits more wicked than himself, if he finds the soul empty and open to his snares. To halt the approach of evil, we must watch in prayer, filling our hearts with God so that there will be no place for it, rather no place in it for the enemy. In the end, if we truly wish to leave behind our former lives, then we have only to turn to God. Yesterday's gospel passage was on the prodigal son, who we know well, was welcomed back warmly and forgiven completely by his father, even though he squandered his portion of the inheritance. So it is with God if we return to him in faith, responding generously to the graces he gives us in freeing us from our sins. All of them are destroyed, and we are left to respond generously and gratefully to the graces of God in working our salvation. Let us turn to Our Lady, who will help us in this, our return to God. Our Lady is blessed because she is the Mother of God, but our Lord himself said that she is more blessed because of her perfect union with him in keeping his word. This blessedness is offered to all of us. One united to God becomes strong in his strength. Remember that despite her misery, she stood at the foot of the cross, looking upon our Lord, to give us an example in times of our miseries. Let us also turn to the great Saint Joseph, the master of the interior life and the mirror of patience. He is a model of perfect and prompt obedience, vigilance, strength, and total confidence in God. Mary, Mother of Mercy, Mother of God, Help of Christians, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.